Cooper didn't care if they believed in Christ, but he did care that they believed that Christ was the only God, the only way. The emperor himself considered himself a God.
This is Straight Talk.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Hollick. I'm here with Pastor Mark Jobe, senior pastor of New Life Community Church, author of the book Unstuck. And today we are looking at what it looks like to follow Jesus. We're in the book of Acts. What does it look like to follow his command? You know, Jesus taught us a lot of things, and then he left us this mission. And the book of Acts is this beautiful picture of what the early church looked like, the roots of our faith. Pastor Mark, there's people who are following Jesus today. They're listening to this message. And your message today is going to be a strong shot in the heart about taking a stand. Some people may think, you know, I'm not that kind of person. I don't think I need to take a stand. There's people like Mark Jobe on the radio. He could take a stand. What do you say to somebody listening today?
I want to say that it's not about personality. It's not about outgoing or introvert. It's about, in our own way, with our own personality, we don't have to change our voice. We don't have to take on someone else's persona. We just have to make sure that we are boldly proclaiming and living out the message of Jesus.
Do you really believe that that is essentially a vital part of being a believer?
When I look at the book of Acts and all the New Testament, I realize that when people are radically transformed by Jesus, they become bold about the message that they believe in. And in this passage, we're going to look at that. These people boldly proclaimed the message of Jesus even when they were dragged to prison. And when they were confronted about not preaching in Jesus' name, they said, well, who should we listen to, God or men? I think there needs to be a holy boldness that starts to come out of us, Joshua. I think by and large, most of us are not bold enough. Now, I'm not talking about obnoxious. I'm not talking about overbearing. I'm simply talking about confidently and boldly letting people know that we are followers of Jesus and there's a message that's transformed us. Because I believe that when we raise our voice, when we are willing to speak out boldly, I believe that it actually has the power to change people's lives.
Powerful. Well, that's what this message is all about, friends. It's called Take a Bold Stand. Four things to take a stand. We're in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. Get your heart ready to be challenged and encouraged by the Word.
Today I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to turn to Acts chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 18 through 20. And today I want to talk to you about the topic of take a bold stand. Take a bold stand. There are some of you today that should be standing up, but you're sitting down. Some of you today that need to be speaking, but you're silent. Some of you that need to be raising your voices, but you're on mute. Some of you that need to be speaking out what God has done in your life, but you have been keeping it to yourself. Some of you have been pressured, pushed down, silenced, put in your place, and you are manageable. You are controlled. You are behaving just like people want you to behave. And I'm here to tell you there's a time that sometimes we need to stand up, speak out, not let the pressure of society mold us into being silent about that which is the greatest news in the world that we need to be speaking up about. As I was thinking about this passage in Acts chapter 4, which is all about being bold in our witness and bold in our story and not being ashamed of God and what he's done in our life, I was thinking over my life. There's been times where I have felt the pressure to be quiet, the pressure to not speak, the pressure to compromise the message, water it down, distill it so that it's politically correct, and so that it can be easily accepted by the masses. But every time that happens, there's a pressure, a push inside of me called the Holy Spirit that says that you need to be faithful to my word, not faithful to society. Amen? And I was thinking about this. I've told you this story before, but the first time I remember really in a public setting feeling like I compromised the message was when I first started pastoring. I started very young. I was 12 years old. Not just kidding. I wasn't 12. I was 21 years old when I started pastoring. Still very young. I remember going to visit a lady in her house and she said, "You're the pastor?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "How come it looks like you're still in high school?" And so I started pastoring and the church was very small. We were about 18 people at the time. And we were in this little corner in back of the yards neighborhood. And the church was very poor. It was kind of isolated. And I was struggling just to get it going and start out. And I was invited through a friend of a friend of a friend to actually give the invocation and benediction at a graduation ceremony that was going to be taking place at the Rockefeller Center Chapel, which is on the grounds of the University of Chicago. And if you've ever been to the Rockefeller Center, it's a very elaborate, ornate chapel that was built by Rockefeller himself, put a lot of money into it. They do some very elaborate ceremonies there. And so I thought, wow, they're inviting me to do the invocation at this big graduation where people are flying all over the world to come to this graduation. And so I said yes to the invitation. When I got there, they ushered me in and the president of the college was there, vice president and host and so forth. We were in a back room and they said, "Great to have you, Reverend. We've heard good things about you," building me up a little bit. "Here, put your cap and gown on." So I put a long gown on and a cap because this was a college graduation. And then we all started to usher our way up to the platform. And as I was walking along the aisle to make my way up to the platform, the host of ceremonies said to me, "Reverend Job, hey, Reverend Job, by the way, this is a non-sectarian event, which means that there's a lot of different religions represented here. So we would be really happy if you were sensitive to that and if you would not use sectarian language." I'm like, "What are you saying?" He says, "Could you just not use words like Jesus or Christ because you may be offensive to some people because this is a generic event and so we don't want to offend people and we know you're an intelligent young leader that's up and rising and that you would understand that." And I'm like, okay, and ushered me on stage. I remember sitting there on stage with the president and the rest of the folk in a very formal event and looking out onto the faces of the auditorium, and I could tell that the crowd had come from many religious backgrounds that were different, had flown in. There was many ethnic groups that were there, and this was a prestigious graduation. And so they got up and they introduced the ceremony, and then they said, "Now, for our invocation, Reverend Mark Job is going to lead us in our invocation." So I got on the platform, I looked at all these people, looked at the president in the back, and I prayed. And I prayed the most generic, watered down, politically correct, blasé prayer that anybody could pray, and not once did I mention the name of Jesus or Christ. And then I went back and I sat down. Have you ever been under conviction? Have you ever felt it? That hot flash and knifing of the soul, word of the Spirit, saying, "What did you just do?" I sat down and what flashed through my mind was Paul's words, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." I sat there and I thought, I have just allowed society and political correctness to squeeze Jesus out of my prayer. They asked me to pray, but I've allowed society to tame me, to box me in, to take the power out of my prayer. I didn't know what they talked about in the podium. I don't know what doctor so-and-so said or what celebrated guest they had. I just know that as I was thinking, praying under conviction, I heard, now for the benediction, we're going to invite Pastor Mark Job again. I almost jumped out of my seat because I was ready this time. And I got to the podium and I said, I know this is a non-sectarian event and I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I'm going to pray in the only name that I know how to pray in, which is the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And I tell you what, as blasé as the first prayer was, now I prayed like a Pentecostal preacher, man. I was saying Jesus and loud and bless you and God. And I said it a couple times just to make up for the first times that I hadn't. And I knew that all the audience was a little bit like this. And I knew the president was probably mad and the guy behind me was mad. And so I didn't wait to say hi to them, congratulate them. When it was over, I jumped off the stage with my long flowing robes, gowns, and I made my way down the aisle. And I knew that they were probably not too happy with me. And as soon as I made my way half down the aisle, a girl stepped out in front of me like this. And she said, Reverend Job? And I stopped. I said, yes. I said, here it goes. And she said, can I say something to you? I said, sure, go ahead. She said, I'm a student here. I've been to 3 graduations here. And they've invited Christian pastors to give the invocation. None of them have ever mentioned the name of Jesus. And I just want to say thank you for not being ashamed of the name of Jesus. Now, I have to say, I was never invited back. Never. No one sent me a thank you for speaking at our event or praying at our event. I didn't feel super appreciated, but nonetheless, I walked away with a clear conscience and a heart that felt like I was not silenced. The book of Acts, Acts chapter 4, talks about the beginning of the church.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, Take a Bold Stand. It's from Pastor Mark's series called AD, the Book of Acts. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Acts, chapter 2, and tonight's Straight Talk is called, Take a Bold Stand.
It talks about persecution and it talks about people, Christians, that were being silenced or attempted to silence Christians as the early church began. You know that Jesus Christ was crucified. There was a lot of political intrigue around it, mainly crucified by religious people that insisted that he would be crucified. Pilate struggled with it. Caiaphas, the high priest, struggled with it as well, but they insisted on his crucifixion. He was crucified like a common criminal because they thought after his crucifixion, it's over, it's done. The story will be forgotten, but it wasn't. Because on the third day, yes, the third day, 1, 2, 3, Jesus rose again from the dead. The tomb is empty. His wrappings were left there. 500 people saw the resurrected Jesus. They talked with him, hugged him, spoke with him, heard him for 40 days preaching about the kingdom of God. And then the Bible says that he gave him a great commission. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And I'm with you always into the end of the earth. And then he left. And he told his disciples, wait in Jerusalem because you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. John the Baptizer baptized in water. Jesus said, wait because you will receive power to be witnesses unto me. And so they waited. And on the day of Pentecost, which was 50 days after Passover, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit with the supernatural power that they could not contain. And the church has never been the same since then. Over 2,000 years of church history, Christians have been persecuted. put in jail, stomped out. They have been tortured. They have been threatened. Societies and countries have tried to stamp out the gospel, and it keeps popping up like a fire that you cannot put out over and over. There are more Christians now than at any stage in the history of humanity among 7 billion people, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is like a wildfire that cannot be stopped. It cannot be put out. And it thrives under persecution. So the greatest danger to Christianity is not persecution. Over the last 2 months, we have seen Christians decapitated. Recently, there was 30 Ethiopians who had their Christians, who had their throat slashed, and were given the option, if they denied Christianity, to be let go, but they refused to deny Christianity. The greatest challenge to Christianity is not persecution. In China, the then communist government closed down all the churches, and much like Cuba, made it illegal really to have services, put pastors in jail, tried to stomp out any religion that was not controlled by the government, yet the church thrived. And in 30 years since they kicked out the missionaries and came back to discover there were now millions of Christians. By the way, in the next couple of years, there will be more Christians in China than there are in the United States of America, because the gospel has exploded with great and dynamic power throughout the world. It cannot be stopped. But the greatest challenge of Christianity is not persecution. The greatest challenge of Christianity is the lukewarmness of secularism that lulls us to sleep, that shuts our mouth, that puts us in our place, that makes the fire die out, and accommodates us to the political correctness of our society. Acts chapter 4 defines what the church needs to be and how the church needs to speak and how you and I need to not let our voice be silenced. And I'm going to read to you the first verses of Acts chapter 4. Jesus has risen from the dead. The Holy Spirit has come upon the church. Peter got up and 3,000 people were baptized. He went to the temple, and as he walked in through the east gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, went through the colonnades, Solomon's colonnades, which is like a porch there, he saw a beggar. The beggar said, "Can I have some money?" Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked at the beggar and he said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." The lame man was immediately touched by the power of God. He was over 40 years old, had been sick for a long time. People knew him, and he was miraculously touched by the power of God, got up and started walking, leaping and walking and praising God, it says. That drew a large crowd of people that came to see the lame man that was healed. And as the crowd gathered around to see this commotion, then Peter got up. Peter, who only a month and a half ago denied Christ. Peter, who denied Christ 3 times. Peter, who was a coward when it counted, suddenly is full with a boldness, an authority, a power. He gets up and he begins to preach to the multitudes that have gathered around. And here's what happens. Look at what it says in verse 1 of Acts chapter 4. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming Jesus, the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. Hold on a second. How many were they when Jesus was on earth? How many were part of the 12, the disciples? I give away the answer. They were 12. When the Holy Spirit came upon them, how many were in the upper room? 120. When they preached the gospel after Pentecost, how many people came to Christ? 3,000. Now it says how many men were there among them? 5,000. You know what that's called? Exponential growth. A message that cannot be contained. Hundreds of people that are hearing the message and saying, I too want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That's the pattern of the church that gets filled with the Spirit of God and the boldness of God. It's a church that cannot be contained within the four walls. Society wants churches that don't spill out onto the streets. Society wants nice religious services that placate the people and stay contained within the four walls of some temple, but don't spill out into the community, don't spill out into the workplace, don't spill out into the school. Society understands churches that do religious services, but society gets uncomfortable with churches that are movements of change that transform thousands of people and cannot be contained within a religious service. The Church of the Living God is not a religious service. The Church of the Living God is a people full of the power of God, a movement that cannot be contained, that spills into the streets and highways and byways. That's what God called the church to be. So if you're taking notes today and you are going to be, if you are getting ready to stand up as a believer of Jesus Christ, you need to remember a couple of things. Number one, the Jesus message, when boldly proclaimed, will change some, but it will also disturb many. It will disturb many. The Bible says that the Sadducees were disturbed. Now, the Sadducees and the Pharisees were both religious groups of people. The Sadducees were the aristocrats, the politicians of the day, and they did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. If you want to remember what the Sadducees believed, just remember they were sad, you see. And why were they sad? They were sad because they didn't believe in the resurrection. They believed that after you die, you'd go to the grave. Sad, you see. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection. They were mad that Peter and John were preaching the resurrection from the dead. And they were sad and mad that a lot of people heard the gospel and were responding. Let me tell you something. The gospel of Jesus is offensive. It's offensive, and yet it's life-giving. Some people will have a strong reaction against the gospel of Jesus because it offends them. Let me tell you why the gospel is so offensive. The gospel, when preached right, will offend some and save others. The gospel is offensive because the gospel is exclusive. During the days that the Bible was written, during the days of the Roman Empire, for example, do you realize that during the days of the Roman Empire, that the emperor, like the emperor Diocletian and a few of the other Nero, they persecuted Christians unabashedly. Although there were a lot of religious groups in the day, they did not like Christians. It was Christians that were thrown to the lions, Christians that were crucified upside down, Christians that were tarred and burned, Christians that were thrown in jail and persecuted. Why? Well, there was a lot of religions out there. There was hundreds of gods that people worshiped, but the Nero and the Roman emperor persecuted Christians because Christians were exclusive. Let me tell you what I mean by exclusive. The other Roman citizens, they worshiped their God and they accepted many other gods as alternatives and as options. In fact, the emperor himself considered himself a god. And the emperor would throw festivals and all the Roman citizens would go to these festivals and honor him as a god. But there was one group of people that refused to go, refused to bow to Nero, refused to bow to the emperor because they said, we only worship one god and will serve one god and bow to one god. And that were bells were believers in God through Jesus Christ. The emperor didn't care if they believed in Christ, but he did care that they believed that Christ was the only God, the only way.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Job's Straight Talk series called AD, the Book of Acts. And tonight was the first half of his message called Take a Bold Stand. Join us again tomorrow for the second half. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book called Unstuck is also available for just $10 plus shipping. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself for the evening. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you have a great night and join us again tomorrow. God bless.